Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This morning, we want to encourage you to give a word of testimony, to give a word of thanks publicly for the work that God's been doing in your life. So again, hopefully you can use this as a guide. And if there's something that you want to share that really doesn't tie into one of those questions, that's fine too. This is about celebrating and praising God for what he's been doing in and through us. And again, there's no age limit on it. So if we'd love to have high school students, college students, children, grandparents be involved this morning and giving testimony to what God's been doing in your life. Who will be first?
I've had a fantastic year of blessing in my family. In May, I graduated from Millersville with my special education degree. And in September, I started taught in a high school life skills position at Penn Manor, and now I'm at Hempfield. And it's just been such a blessing, having been a stay-at-home mom for 10 years, to get back to work. And I'm blessed with my family, my four great kids, and my husband. And God has just continued to bless me and make my life rich. And he's with me with any challenge I have. And it's a blessing to have him in my life.
Thank you so much.
Many of you know about a lot of the blessings that I've been blessed with here, but most of important, of course, is that after about 2 years of being out of work, I was able to get a great job this past November. That job started out as a part-time position, and I'm now been allowed to increase it to full-time work. And also, in addition to that, it's also got me some things on the side where I'm now learning how to build websites for people, for small businesses, and I'm in training for that, and that training is free. So it's really awesome. I was able to also, while I was out of work, attend college and take graphic design courses, which I can now apply to that training. And also, in addition to that, at my job, I'm going to be doing some additional work that they haven't specifically outlined for me, but it has to do with selling products and promoting products to some of the patients at the doctor's office where I work that are non-medical. So, and that's really helpful for some people. I've also been blessed with all of you, many of you who were great, great help to me financially while I was out of work, and I can't thank you enough. So the Lord has provided for me in great many ways and has shown me a big lesson about provision. So thank you.
Praise the Lord. She says this is not her comfort zone, and I know Shirley, and it's not. So thank you for coming up here.
It was back March a year ago, 2 years ago, that my daughter went for surgery on a rotator cuff, and that's when they took blood work and found out she had leukemia. And they didn't start the chemo treatments till that August of that year. And in the beginning, she rejected three of the treatments that it didn't work. And I have to thank all the pastors for their prayers and all the congregation that prayed for her, because they finally found one that worked. And this February 23rd, she had a stem cell transplant from her sister, who was a perfect match for her. And I thank God for that. God has done so much in her life over the last 2 years, and I praise him for where she is now. She is at has 73% of her sister's excuse me, stem cells now, and the doctor says as long as it keeps going up, that it's working. So she has to be at 100% by 100 days. So I praise God and thank everyone for all their prayers, because without God, she wouldn't be where she is today. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. This is starting to have the same pattern of first service. I've been keeping score, and the ladies are winning 3-0. So, men, let's step it up. We'll take some more ladies as well. So come on up.
Hi, my name's Glenn. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I struggle with addictions of alcohol. I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for having a Naaman Center so I can go there and get help through it. I want to thank the Lord for Celebrate Recovery. I go there every Thursday night, and I praise the Lord for that service as well. I want to thank for my men's group that I have. Eric Umholtz, the pastor Jeff, Craig and Neil Robertson, Todd as well, and Rob Small. I want to thank you, Lord, for those guys of holding me up, being accountable for my addictions, and I want to thank you.
Thank you, God.
I'll just piggyback on that. Looking at this list that was in the bulletin, I want to thank Pastor Jeff and his wife Michelle. And my ABF class, who's been a tremendous amount of support to me. And just Jesus Christ for teaching my husband and I so much about what it means to be one in a marriage and how you can't possibly have oneness in a marriage until you are one with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. You thankful?
Yeah.
What are you thankful for?
Growing up, I had a pretty rough life, and I didn't really have no guidance. And so I wasn't introduced to God until later on in my life, and I've already messed up a lot. But when I got to know God, things changed a lot. I met Rocky, and he had helped me out a lot with certain things. And I don't know, it's just been a blessing to get to know him. And, you know, the closer I get to God, the better my life gets. And, I hit rock bottom, and, I've been brought up so high. And it's I don't know, I can't describe the feeling. I don't know, but it's the, greatest feeling to have God in your life.
Thank you.
Being prompted by the question about your ABF or small group, this past year, my small group acted as a sounding board as I felt called to make a transition expansion in my business. And in an economy and in a work environment that wasn't necessarily a rational decision, but it had been a calling for 4 years to bring another individual into my business that I had had exposure to and worked a little bit for me in the past. And God's word says without faith it's impossible to please God. And so I got to the point where I felt like, okay, it's time and we're going to make this transition. And specifically as it relates to my small group, I was able to bring my feelings and ideas to them and ask them to pray along with me, which they did. And brought quite a bit of an encouragement to me as well. And it put me in a situation where, once again in my life, I had to live in a total state of dependence. And God has come through in ways that are miraculous, and I don't really have time to share. But it just, again, reminded me and showed me how much God loves us, and how that when he calls us to something, that despite what's going on around us, and whether it's the economy or the circumstances of the world we live in, that when we follow him in obedience, he will be there and provide for us.
Thank you, Tim.
As many of you know, my husband and I have been separated. For about 4.5 years now. And because of some of the circumstances we have now, started a divorce. But I have a lot of cheerleaders in my life. I have God, who showed me how strong I can be. Because of him. I don't know where I would be without him. My church, all of you, my ABF, a focus class, Phil Maryland, and my two biggest cheerleaders are my kids, Jared and James. I thank you for all your prayers. Just keep continuing to pray. We're all really doing really well. And it's really a sense of relief. Even though I'm going through a divorce, it's just like a big weight lifted off my shoulder. So just keep praying. Thank you.
Good morning. I had two small strokes at the beginning of this year, only a day apart, and that put me in the hospital for 2 days. But through that, it's kind of funny how you don't see it at the point that it happens, but you see it later. I talked to a few people that had someone very close to them who had the same thing. They're called TIAs. They're called transient ischemic attacks. I went through a barrage of tests, and they found nothing. There was no blockage, no damage. Thank God for that. My daughter did have a place to go to in that time because I'm a single mother with no family around me. I had a few people that knew from church. And I just wanted to thank God because he showed me through all those things that he does provide. I was able to go back to work. The person that I spoke of, they had nothing when they came from their strokes. They had no mobility of hands and legs. They had no speech. They had no written will. There was nothing saying where their children would go. And the Lord just showed me how great he is and how he provides, that I was left totally without flaw afterwards. I had no damage. There was nothing that they could find was wrong. Thank the Lord for that. But he also showed me that in that time when I was going through so many tests and not knowing what was going on or where my daughter would go or what the results were at that point, he was with me, and I seemed very calm, and it was just a very unusual for me. But I just wanted to thank the Lord for what he's done, for bringing me back to work, for keeping my daughter safe, for providing for us through all of that. And it's not easy, but you know, it's a lot better than it could have been. So when you think that things are bad, then you start to think on the things that really matter. And from the movie White Christmas, which is my daughter's favorite Christmas movie, there's a song called Count Your Blessings, which I'm sure a few of you are familiar with. And so I started that very thing, and I'm not done with the list yet, so thanks.
Thank you, Sheila. I think we have time for one more. For one or two more? Two more.
We are grandparents of two of your youth and pre-youth, Joseph and Emma Moeller. And it's such a privilege for us to be here this morning to witness Emma's baptism and to witness Joseph's about 2 years ago. And I want to say that we're just so thankful to see the next generation taking on the faith and committing their lives to it. So it's really a special privilege. I don't have anything in the past couple of months except to say it's a great privilege to be their grandparents and to follow them as they're maturing.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that.
As many as you, many of you know, I had a daughter named Kim who for 22 years we had no contact with. It was her choice. Her in-laws are very controlling, I'll just put it that way. But in April, she contacted me and said that they had, for the past year, really been searching and she'd like to meet for lunch. So, of course, I did that and her 23-year-old daughter came along. So since then, they have been part of our family. Oh, yeah. And it's just so neat. And God answered prayer after all this time. And our whole family has accepted them, and they come to every gathering we have now. And it's just, I just want to praise God for that.
Amen. We rejoice with you, Lucy. We want to continue to celebrate through song and through singing. So the worship team is going to come out, and we're going to continue to praise the Lord.
Thank you all for sharing. What struck me was how God has been faithful, how God has been continually working in the lives of each and every one of us. And it's always encouraging to see that. These next couple of songs, we want to kind of focus in on how we can celebrate.
Yes.
The greatest gift that God could give to us, and that was his son. Not only his son, but his son's sacrifice on the cross for our behalf. And as a result, our natural response is to give him everything that we can to submit ourselves to him. Would you stand with us as we join in singing? My life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let this and let
stars of the morning are inside your eyes. The world awakens in the light of the day. I look up to the sky and say, you're beautiful.
Morning to you all. As we continue this morning in worship and celebration on the life of CBC, we want to introduce to you some individuals who decided to be baptized today. It's their way of publicly declaring to you that they have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they're identifying with Him as his followers. They want to live their life for him. So we celebrate these individuals who are just showing you this morning that they put their faith in Jesus and they've trusted him and they want to follow him for their life. And so first we have Emma Moeller, and Emma's going to share her testimony with you right now.
I was born into a Christian family and was dedicated here at CBC. My parents brought me to church most Sundays so I could learn about God. I also went to Awana. It was my mom who helped me accept Christ. I don't know the date I was saved, but I know it was a Wednesday evening. My mom, my brother, and I were coming back from Awana. My brother was talking about how being good and going to church doesn't save you. When we got home, I asked my mom, "How do you get saved?" She told me that to be saved, you have to admit to God that you've sinned, believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again, and accept God's free gift of salvation. My mom prayed with me, and I accepted Christ. I attended Awana for 8 years. I learned many things about God in the Bible. Many verses I have memorized have impacted my life. These last 2 years, I have been a member of the Bible quiz team here at CBC, and have studied and memorized many verses from the books of John, Hebrews, and 1 and 2 Peter. At the start of practice each week, Mrs. Feaster points out some key applications from the chapter we study. One of my favorite verses is Hebrews 4:12, which says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." My life verse is Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight."
Emma, because you have put your faith and trust in Jesus and in him alone for your salvation and forgiveness of sins, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And as she mentioned, Mrs. Feaster, we have Karen Feaster to pray for Emma.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Emma this morning and her decision to be baptized. We know that this decision was based on belief in your Son and in obedience and reverence for you. Help Emma, Lord, to continue to hold firmly to the faith she now confesses, and help her to continually fix her eyes on your Son, Jesus, the author and perfecter of her faith. Let her hold unswervingly to the hope she now professes, and help her to persevere so that when she has done your will, that she will receive what you have promised. We pray this blessing on her this morning in honor of your precious name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Next, Sarah Nixon, you can come out. Sarah's my cousin, so this is pretty cool.
As some of you would also testify for your own story, my upbringing was nothing out of the ordinary. My parents suddenly raised me to love Jesus. At a young age, I noticed such genuineness in their words and actions. Specifically, I am indebted to my mom for helping lead me into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ when I was 4 years old. I remember sitting on the edge of her bed, hands clasped, and praying the prayer. I'm not exactly sure what I said during that prayer, but I know that in that moment I decided to follow Jesus. You may ask, how can one make such a decision at that early of an age? The answer is found in Matthew 18:3. "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." God was calling me to himself, and with my childlike faith, as a daughter of the King. During the first year or two of high school, though, I was not living a life completely surrendered to the Lord. I considered myself a Christian, but did not hold my relationship with him as my first priority. I did not desire God's involvement in my life, nor hunger for the word. Instead, I was more concerned with my own comforts and desires. But there was nothing in my sinful humanity that could cause me to glorify the Lord. But God never stopped pursuing me. I hadn't come to the realization that through the gospel, the Holy Spirit sanctifies me, compelling me to pursue holiness and imitate Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:17 through 18 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Christ's death meant inexpressibly more to me upon realization that it is the Holy Spirit who sanctifies me and transforms my character. Around the spring of my sophomore year, God was really starting to tug at my heart. Word of a mission trip to Ecuador the following summer was mentioned in youth group. I felt the Lord was calling me to use my interest of Spanish, but was a bit apprehensive. Eventually, I committed to be a member of the team. In my memory was the scripture on Tim Tebow's iBlack, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Fast forward 2 years to the present, and I can say with much gratitude that God has orchestrated a miraculous change in my heart. I followed him again to Ecuador the summer after my junior year. And this coming summer, I am humbled to serve him in Peru. Even so, it's overwhelmingly beautiful how the Lord provided and persistently drew me a little more out of my comfort zone each year. Katie Davis once said, "I am much more terrified of living a comfortable life in a self-serving society and failing to follow Jesus than I am of any illness or tragedy." In the past year, I can honestly say I have never learned so much as I did during the rest of my life, or should I say intentionally learned. Advice from the following authors and speakers have molded my integrity and life values: Conviction from Radical by David Platt, Humility from Kisses by Katie from Katie Davis, A Heart of Thankfulness from 1,000 Gifts by Ann Voskamp, and Pro-Life Awareness from abortion survivor Gianna Jessen. In addition, youth leaders and spiritual mentors who remain by my side continue to add insight in my walk with Christ. Sunday school teachers speak truths of Scripture that aid me in combating lies I believe. Most transforming, though, are personal times spent in the Word in which God reveals his heart to me. Romans 6:8-14 reads, "Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." My ambition is to identify myself with Christ in his death and resurrection, because when I was dead in my sins, he brought me back to life. I have come here to be baptized today not as a means of salvation or desire of self-importance, but to proclaim the change that Christ has created in me. I am still a sinful person, but I'm no longer enslaved to sin. Instead, I am enslaved to Christ. I know that I am his child and confident of eternal life. Revelations 1:18 says, "I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever."
Because you've placed your trust and faith in Jesus Christ and him alone for the forgiveness of your sins, and now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now Sarah's father, Chris Nixon, is going to come and pray for Sarah.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for freedom to worship here today, to celebrate Sarah's baptism. Thank you for this church and for all the people that have come along Sarah since birth to help her learn about you and eventually grow in her faith in Jesus Christ, her Lord and Savior, so that today she can stand before us as an adult to give her public statement of faith. I pray for continued growth in her faith. I pray for her boldness and willingness to help reach others, like the upcoming mission trip to Peru. I also pray for her future at Cedarville University, where she will have the opportunity to learn more about you and to grow more as an adult. In your name, amen.
Being baptized next is Madeline Woodrick.
I became a Christian when I was 3 years old, but I don't think I really understood God and the things he does until recently. This year, at a music festival, I asked God to crush everything that was not of him or for him, or that got in between me and him. As I got older, I began to understand better that I am a sinner and that I deserve to go to hell, a place that you do not want to go. The awesome thing is that Jesus died for us so we don't have to go to hell. He offers that gift of salvation to us for free when we believe that he died for us and conquered death. It's like someone giving you your dream car for free, but better, so much better. I'm realizing that ever since I became a Christian, God has been changing me and challenging me in a lot of ways. For example, one night I woke up in the middle of the night and felt a horrible, dark, evil presence in my room. It scared the living daylights out of me. I was so much that I slept with my Bible that night and many nights after that. Now, I'm not saying that there really was a demon in my room that night, but I'm thankful that God's power overcomes any demons. Looking back on that night, I realized just a tiny bit of what Jesus overcame when he defeated hell. I also realized that the evil I felt in my room was a reflection of me. God, me without God. Because without God, we are dark, horrible, and evil. Other things I have learned are sometimes it's in the littlest ways that God meets our needs, like giving me the gift of drawing to be able to express my feelings, or the special moments when you have a one-person dance party in your room and you just feel like you could fly. One of my favorite verses is John 16:22. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away.
Madeline, because you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you're looking to him and him alone for the forgiveness of your sins, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One of her junior high leaders, Don Smay, has made a significant impact in Madeline's life, and so Madeline has asked if Don would come out and pray for Madeline. Join us.
Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just praise you for this day, the day that Madeline has made her public profession through baptism, that she is proclaiming that Christ is her Savior and Lord. I am humbled, and I just thank you so much that she chose me to pray for her. The blessings that flow into our lives, we can't count. Until we see someone who just wants to be part of your life and allow you to be part of theirs. So I just thank you so much for this privilege. I pray, Father, for Madeline. I pray that she will continue to walk with you, that she'll grow closer to you, and that every time she is faced with a challenge, she'll realize that we are not given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of hope and power and love and of a sound mind, and that you can conquer anything as long as we trust in you. I pray that you'll continue to guide her through her life, that she'll honor and glorify you in the way she lives. And these things I pray for her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Madeline. Next is Rihanna Miles. Somehow I knew Rihanna was going to make an entrance like that. I first had the opportunity to get to know Rihanna when I was a counselor at junior camp, and she was a camper. So, Rihanna, share how God has been at work in your life.
Hi, my name is Rihanna Miles. I was born September 25th, 1997 in Longview, Texas. Unlike many of you, I was not born to a Christian family. My mother never married. Right now, she is a single mom with four kids, and she is in rehab for drug use. My dad was a smoker, alcoholic, and a druggie. He's a father of 12 kids. He met me on Facebook this year in the fall. The last time he saw me was when I was 2 years old. He was very abusive to my mom and I. My sister, not so much. I was sexually assaulted by him when I was about 2 years old. He also went to jail for endangering the life of a child. And yes, that was me, with scars of proof. I wasn't told any of this until I was around 12 years old. That affected my life so much. finding out your father sexually assaulting you and then talking to him 12 years later, I think it's hard to imagine your own father hurting you at a young age, let alone having no ability to do anything to prevent it. After my mom had her second child, she couldn't handle taking care of my sister, Maddie, and myself. When you're 18 and you already have two kids, you have a lot on your plate. So my mom decided it was best for us to be legally adopted by our grandparents. As you can tell, the start of my life wasn't the best. When I was 5 years old, my neighbor invited me to go to his church. Not growing up in a Christian family, I had no idea what a church was, so I asked. My neighbor looked at me like I was crazy. He told me that what a church was and then asked me if I knew Jesus, who Jesus was. Being a curious 5-year-old, not knowing who Jesus was, I asked. With an astonished look of, "Are you crazy?" he told me who Jesus was. I was very interested to find more information about this Jesus person about church. My grandma said that I was allowed to go the next day, and I went. I remember the first Bible story I learned that day was Jonah and the whale. I was very interested by this. For the next year and a half, I kept coming back. When I was 6 years old, my table leader pulled me aside and asked me how I liked church. I told her I really liked it, minus the part that my family didn't come. Then she asked me what I thought about Jesus. I answered, "He is a powerful man who loves everyone." She smiled at me and then asked if I believed that he died on the cross for me so that I could go to heaven. I said yes, and then she prayed with me and I was saved. After I was saved, my neighbor moved away and I no longer went to church because my parents wouldn't take me. 4 years later, my friend Stephanie Ream invited me to go to CBC's junior camp. To get us interested, she told us about the fun stuff like Capture the Flag and Mission Impossible. My grandma said that we could go, and my sister and I were pumped. It was the best week of my life. My favorite part was when I met Pastor Jeff in jail during Capture the Flag. Pastor Jeff inspired me to come back the next year and to go to TNT. Now, you might be wondering why I put that in here. I believe without God moving me to Pennsylvania or having friends to bring me to church, I probably wouldn't have heard of him. As I grow, my walk with God becomes more detailed and precise. God has become my mentor. Whenever I feel like I can't do anything or I feel like giving up, Joshua 1:9 pops into my head. Have I not commended you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Sometimes I feel like I'm not good enough for God. Since I wasn't raised into a Christian family, I don't know a lot of Bible stories they tell us in Sunday school. I don't know every answer to the question that are asked, like some kids do, but I'm learning. God has given me patience and perseverance to learn his book. Sometimes when I think how powerful God is, I get scared, and I want to stay on earth where I think I belong. But that's the thing. I don't belong here. I belong somewhere better. I will be with God one day, every tear, scar, bruise, and bad memory swept away. In 2011, my life seemed to take a turn. My grandma in the hospital. My dad finding me on Facebook and talking to me 12 years after my life passed. My mom going to jail. My favorite uncle dying, and both my brothers living with a man I do not trust. I was devastated. I was so devastated that suicide ran through my head multiple times. I couldn't do it, though. Take my life away from the people that I love, I just couldn't do it. Whenever I thought of suicide, Joshua 1:9 pops into my head, and the part spoke to me the most was, "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Not knowing God at an early age has made my life challenging, and not knowing what church was, too. But after finding a church, like CBC, and settling in for almost a year and a half, which is May 21st, I believe God has me where I should be right now, in a church family who will listen and understand me. God has me here for a reason. I might not know that reason yet, but I'll find out soon.
Rihanna, because you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you're trusting in him and him alone for the forgiveness of your sins, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Father, thank you for the evidence of your grace at work in Rihanna's heart and life. We praise you, Lord, for you have called her out of darkness into your wonderful light. She is a new creation. Christ lives in her. She is declared to be right with God because of Christ's death and resurrection. She is clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Oh, Lord, we praise you because through this gospel you have given Rihanna all that she needs for life and godliness. Therefore, we pray that Rihanna would press on to know Christ, May she be most satisfied in God, and may you be glorified in her. Now to him who is able to keep her from falling and present her before your glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Being baptized next is Greg Bryant. Greg, share how God's been at work in your life.
I am blessed to be here today. When I say that, you might think that I mean that I feel lucky that I have enough strength to be present today, even though my body is fighting cancer. But that is not what I mean. I mean that I feel blessed because today I'm able to stand here and publicly acknowledge that Jesus has cured me of the worst of all diseases. I mean the disease of spiritual death from my sins, a disease from which each one of us suffers. Some of you here today have known me since I was a boy. Others of you have never met me. For you, let me take a quick moment to share my background. I grew up here in Marietta as a boy. I attended CBC back when it was known as Congregational Bible Church. I believed what I was taught about Jesus. However, during my late teens, I drifted away from the Lord. My story was one that I'm sure is probably very common. I began to doubt what I had been taught and didn't think it applied to me. You can probably guess what happened next. As the years went on, I decided to live my life my way, without any regards for the guidelines and boundaries that God has provided for us, the boundaries that are the only way to really enjoy life. The result was that I made some bad decisions. It is true that I did make some good ones as well over the years, but I made several bad ones. And sometimes the effects of one bad decision led to me making other bad ones. One of the most useful gifts that God has given us is a conscience, and mine ate at me whenever I thought of the poor decisions that I had made over the years. Satan knows about conscience too, and one of his most evil tricks is to try to convince us that we have done too many bad things for God to ever forgive us. But that is the biggest lie that Satan tries to tell us. For too many years, I believed that lie, and I ran from the Lord. But in the past several months, I have finally come to truly understand just how deep God's love for us really is. And I know just how much he wants to forgive all of us, no matter what we have done. You might be tempted to look at the disease I'm fighting and wonder, how can I feel blessed? But I am blessed because I am now, after a lot of years, really living. I have restored my relationship with the Lord and have accepted the gift of salvation that Jesus offers to each of us. God tells us in Romans 8:28 that all things work for good. I'm here to testify to you today about the truth of that verse. I have gone through many experiences so far in my life, some of them great and some of them pretty terrible. But God has used all of them to bring me to this point, to bring me back to him. And because of that, how could I feel anything other than blessed? I hope that if any of you are here today and you have not accepted the gift that Jesus is offering to you, that you will rethink that decision. You see, we have all heard the phrase, no one is promised tomorrow. This was made forcefully evident to me when my older brother, Jeff Bryant, who was a longtime member here at CBC, passed away this February. He went to play basketball one Saturday, and he never came home. Fortunately, Jeff made the right choice when it came to the claims of Jesus. He believed, and I know that right now he is living in heaven in a fully restored relationship with God. Jeff's death brought home to me that our physical life can end at any time. But it was in his life and the incredible example of faith in Jesus that he displayed that made me rethink the choice I had made about Jesus. I hope so much that if you have not accepted Jesus, you will rethink that decision. God has given you time. He has put you here now, today, to hear his word and the message of the gift of salvation. Accept it. Believe me, once you do, then you too will understand, as I have come to understand, what it means to really live.
Greg, because you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you're looking to Him and Him alone for the forgiveness of your sins, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Before Gary Newton knew that Greg Bryant was planning on getting baptized, he'd planned to be here at CBC. And Greg had the opportunity to hear about Christ under Gary's leadership as a youth pastor here. So it's a privilege for Gary to be able to pray for Greg. Join him.
Lord, we come to you and worship you for your grace. You have called us and chosen us before the foundation of the world. You have called Greg. You have chosen so many people. I was talking to Sandy Boylan this morning as his Sunday school teacher many years ago. Will and Rotary Longnecker. Many of people in his family. Jeff, so many people you've used to shepherd Greg to this point in his life where he responded definitely to your call in his life. We worship and praise you. Lord, we ask specifically for Greg's healing. We know you're a miraculous God. I've seen your healing touch. I've felt it over and over. You can work miracles. Lord, we also pray that no matter what happens to Greg with this cancer, that you will support him, that he will stick to you, that he will get his strength from you, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will anoint him and strengthen him to be strong no matter what, that you will help him to be a testimony to his family, many of whom have not responded to you. And we pray, Lord, as he has been praying, that those he loves will make a definite commitment to follow you as Savior and Lord. I pray for Mary that you will bless her heart. Give her strength. Give her kids strength. And Lord, we pray that you will make Greg a blessing even in the midst of suffering. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
We're going to need to step out of our American culture for a little bit because it's after 12 o'clock noon, but we have too much to celebrate and we have too much to praise God about this morning. So I'm going to ask us to continue on with the service as it's been planned. Obviously, if you have commitments that you need to make, feel free to go, but we're going to stay and worship and celebrate.